Las Vegas is a weird place. I've never lived anywhere else, but I've traveled a little and I've seen enough movies to understand that this electric desert oasis isn't like other cities. It isn't just the Strip, either, or the fact that other places apparently don't have slot machines at the airport or poker machines at 7-Eleven. There's a different vibe here. Or two vibes at once, I guess. Like two parallel worlds existing in the exact same spot on two different planes, completely unaware of each other. The one most people know about, and the reason they come here in droves for vacations, is the shiny, sparkly one. The Las Vegas that always makes it into the movies, where it's nothing but glittering lights, jingling slot machines, cheering crowds around craps tables, and drive-through wedding chapels. The other Vegas sucks. It's the gritty, gross part. The burnt-out lights, the losing slot machines, the depressed tables where no one is winning, and the quickie divorces. It's seeing the same person at the same slot machine or the same table at 10 in the morning in the same clothes they were wearing when you saw them at midnight. There are pawn shops filled with wallets, cell phones, jackets, shoes, jewelry. The last few meager possessions a person unloads in the name of scoring a few dollars. Sometimes they're smart and use that handful of money to get on a bus and hightail it out of town. Or if they don't have enough for that, at least go to one of the buffets and get something to eat. But usually, the money winds up in a predictable place, a casino's coffers. Sooner or later, people run out of things to pawn, and they wind up huddled against a wall with nothing but the clothes on their back and a sign scrawled on a wrinkled piece of cardboard. Nobody sees them, but they're here, all along the Strip. The destitute people who've given their last dime to the casino gods and have nothing left. No money, no way out. I live in that gray area between the two parallel worlds. Too jaded to be won over by the sparkly shit, too numb to pay attention to the sad underbelly. I walk down the Strip every day and every night. I step over the odd pool of vomit, get nearly run over by drunken partiers having the time of their lives, and pass by the still, sad homeless people, without even looking long enough to read their cardboard signs. Once in a while, usually after I've watched someone lose everything at my blackjack table, I feel guilty enough to drop a handful of change into their cup, especially when they're using those plastic coin cups from the casino where I work. But I don't meet their eyes and don't really give them much thought. As soon as the coins clang in the bottom of the otherwise empty cup, I've done my part and that's the end of it. I walk on and ignore them like I do all the other sad realities of this town. Tonight, as always, I want nothing more than to get home and take a shower. After 6 hours of dealing cards, I danced for another 4 at the Night Owl. My feet hurt. My body is exhausted. Nothing exists for me now except fatigue and the promise of a hot shower and several hours of sweet, sweet sleep. Hands tucked in my pockets, I weave through the crowd outside the Bellagio. The fountains are dark and quiet this time of night. The water and light shows stop sometime around midnight, but there's a reason they call this the city that never sleeps. Most people on the sidewalk are swaying a bit, some drunk, some probably just tired as hell. It's Sunday night, after all. Well, early Monday morning, so a lot of the weekend revelers are running out of steam. The railing along the Bellagio's enormous fountain has little patios every few feet for people to stand and watch without blocking foot traffic. Not that they're big enough to accommodate everyone who wants to see the show. When the fountains are going, it's a nightmare to walk through here. It's not so bad now, and as I pass one of the patios, there's a homeless man pressed back up against a concrete planter. He's a typical sight, rumpled clothes, a cardboard sign, a plastic cup. I glance at him with the same interest I might glance at a manhole cover or some graffiti and keep walking. For about 8 feet. I halt abruptly enough that a group of women, one wearing a tiny telltale white veil, crash into me, nearly knocking me off my feet. Someone slurs an apology and then they're gone, staggering down the walkway toward the next bachelorette party destination. My feet are under me again, but I don't start walking. I glance back at the homeless guy.